Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Thursday, October 16th, and we're back here in the studio.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Beautiful weather outside, and we're in a pretty good mood, I would say, right?
Yeah,
are you
definitely
in a good mood?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not sure where I am this morning, but I did get enough sleep, though. I got up like three times during the night. I don't know why. Maybe my body's not used to sleeping so much.
Yeah.
You know? And then my phone rings at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you know, someone I don't know, probably a wrong number or something.
That's an like, annoying wow. wrong number.
It is. And so, yeah, but I did get some sleep. It's just that some mornings are not as good as others, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, I usually don't have bad mornings. You know, I usually get up, everything's cool. My life is really a pretty straight level thing, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't have a lot of ups and downs, but I guess sometimes I can allow myself to be irritated, right? Especially when you go to sleep irritated, I think you get up in the morning.
Yeah, definitely.
Like
runs
that
over.
Too, huh?
Yeah, for sure. And this just seems like a long week to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't believe it's only Thursday morning.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh.
I know. We're used to like holidays and stuff, right? Shortening our week.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just seemed like a really long week.
Yeah.
I've worked a lot this week and it's just like...
Oh, yeah? Well, yeah, maybe just, that's why.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Seems like it should be Saturday.
I know. Well, we'll get to play soon, you know, one more day.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to going and seeing a concert this weekend, the group Asia. And I don't know if you've heard of them. They were very popular in the 80s. And then they broke up and got back together and so forth. But they're pretty big, you know. I mean, it's a rock band. And... the neat thing about it is some members of the band are from other previous bands that were big, you
oh,
know,
cool.
like groups like Yes and Emerson, Lake and Palmer and that. So I'm pretty excited, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I grew up on and I'm looking forward to it. The only problem is, you know, with bands, it's like they never stay the same. You know, you get like new people coming in.
Yeah.
And you go, well, where's that star I wanted to see? You know, well, he's not in the band anymore.
Right.
You know.
And then that chorus is taken over by someone else. And it's
right.
like, eh, that doesn't sound how it used to.
Right, exactly. But the most important thing is the lead vocals is there, you know,
right.
because then the sound is still the same. But sometimes they get different singers, and it sounds different.
Yeah, definitely. And that throws you off.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's not what I used to listen to.
I know. And many bands have gone through changes, but, you know, some of them have been good changes. In fact, I think a few weeks ago I put a post on Facebook, and I asked people, you know, if they think, you know, there's a band where the second singer was better than the first one.
Yeah.
Or let's say just as good. You know,
yeah.
To me, like Van Halen, for example, you know, David Lee Roth and then Sammy Hagar, to me, they were both great.
Right.
You know, so that's the situation there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to going to see it. It's going to be.
I was just going to say, I think it's so risky when a band is already well known or successful to then have a lead singer or one of the singers
right.
be switched out. I just
right.
think that's such a risky thing because fans don't like change.
Right, exactly.
And when something like that is changed, it's like, oh.
I know.
You're always going to get
criticized. And sometimes they leave the band and they get successful on their own.
Right.
You know, and the band is like in trouble.
Yeah.
That's true. It just goes to show you because the singer is like, you know, the voice is the main instrument in a song, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if the main instrument is different, then you can tell it's a different song.
Yeah.
You know, it's totally different.
Yeah.
So when you're used to a certain voice, you know, and you get used to it and stuff. But, you know, many people don't know that some bands had previously like happy, I mean, or like people that are solo now used to be in bands before.
Right.
And some people don't know like who was where, you know.
Yeah.
I still find out things like, you know, this used to be in this band and, you know, like Beyonce, what band was she in? Wasn't it
Destiny's
like
Child.
Destiny's Child? Yeah. That's right, yeah. And then she became famous. Diana Ross was with the Supremes, had a great solo career too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you never know, you know.
And there's Justin Timberlake. He was in NSYNC.
Yeah, NSYNC, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of things. I mean, you know, when someone's been on the Mickey Mouse Club and then they make it, I'm not surprised, you know, because, I mean, that's like, that's a good launching pad.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Because right after that, let's say they go into the Mickey Mouse Club when they're really young, then they get out, they'll probably find another gig or something, mm-hmm. you know. And then they grow older and they're already half known, they're pretty talented by now.
Yeah.
And
in that group there was, in the Mickey Mouse Club, it was Justin Timberlake, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera.
Right.
They were all
many of those
yeah.
were. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I know, and that's where a lot of people started. I don't know, is that show still on? I mean, do people still get on it?
I have no idea.
Yeah, it's Disney Channel, obviously, yeah. you know. But, I have no idea either. I don't know what's going on. When my kids were young, I knew everything that's going on,
yeah.
you know. Like uh-huh. Barney the Dinosaur. And the Rugrats started at that time.
Mm-hmm, the Flintstones.
In the 90s. Well, the Flintstones have been around for a long time.
Oh, they have?
Yeah.
Okay.
Flintstones has been around since, the 70s, I think. That's
oh,
when
wow.
I used to watch it. But newer shows like SpongeBob mm-hmm. was started in the 90s. A lot of great shows that are popular now, I remember, started when my kids were kids.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of coming out of Disney. And did you see that new movie? There's a big billboard here, the Hero 6 or something?
No, I haven't.
With that like big blimp. It looks like a huge snowman that's like inflatable. Yeah. And
is it Disney?
It's a Disney movie, and it's called Something Hero 6, and it's going to probably be a pretty big movie, you know. I think it's animated, and it's going to be pretty cool. So we'll see how that does.
Big Hero 6.
Big Hero mm-hmm. 6, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure all the Disney movies are
yeah, they
popular.
Do well, right?
Frozen, that was the last one that came out, and
right.
that's huge.
Huge, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They did have a couple of movies that didn't make it very well. I'm trying to remember. I mean, even like Cars 2 didn't do very well, but still,
right.
but still, it's considered successful. I mm-hmm. think, you know, by any measure. But
all the big Disney movies like Aladdin, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty. There were never Sleeping Beauty 2,
right?
Or Cinderella 2,
right?
Or,
exactly.
You know,
this is the classic.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs 2. It was always just one. So I feel like with Cars 2, it's like people were kind of just done with one.
Yeah,
I don't think they needed the second one.
Right, and that recent one, Planes, came out. Search and Rescue or something. I still see billboards on it, even though it's gone for a long time. But then didn't do very well either, you know.
Yeah.
And there are some Disney movies. I'm trying to remember. Because Disney produces movies for grown-ups too, not just for kids,
yeah.
you know. And they've had some misses there, you know. I don't remember which ones because they're doing pretty well. But I think they figured out the formula for kids' entertainment, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
At this point, you realize they did figure it out.
Yeah.
So, you've been to Disneyland, right?
Oh, so many times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to California Experience, which is next door?
Yep.
Really? I've never been to
Yeah, I've been to that one twice, and then, once I've been to California.
Yeah.
California Adventure.
Adventure, that's right. Not Experience.
Yeah, in Disneyland. And then I've been to Disney World so many times.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. Mm-hmm. Living there and stuff. Yeah, that's one place I haven't been. I have no desire to go to Disneyland anymore, but Disney World. Just for the curiosity, because everybody always says it's better.
Yeah,
and you want to see it, you know.
Yeah,
you really want to see it. The Epcot
better.
Center and stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. that used to be huge when they first started it.
Yeah, and you can do around the world and drink at different places all around the world.
Yeah,
yeah, it's cool.
Oh wow, that's mm-hmm. pretty cool. Maybe I'll take a trip just specially to go there.
Yeah,
but I bet you it's like so expensive, right? What is it like? Probably over $100 a person now.
Yeah, I don't know if Epcot's the same price.
Right,
and then
Disneyland
oh, yeah.
here.
Yeah, it's over
at least $100, right?
And then to do the two park, it's 200.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so imagine a family of four.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Know,
then the hotel, then all the expenses around. It gets to be very expensive, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Wow. I mean, can you imagine spending $500-$600 for one day at a theme park?
No.
You know, that's a lot of money.
It's crazy. And when I was young and we would go, I appreciate it now. At the time, it was just like, oh, we're going to Disney. But right. we would go for like 2 weeks and do, like, have a 7-day park hopper
wow,
ticket. And
really?
It's just insane. And I think the prices back then were cheaper than they are now.
But oh, yeah.
I can't believe that. I feel so lucky that we were able to do that.
Yeah.
Because now when
that's
I want to go
of
for
Disney.
The day,
the whole
we loved Disney. And there's so many parks.
Yeah.
There's, I think, 4 or 5 parks.
Oh, Disney World?
In Disney World,
wow.
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then if you go to the water park as well, they have like 3 water parks.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have Universal Studios there too, right?
Universal, yeah. Yeah. That's 2 parks, and then there's a water park for that one as well.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's 3 for them.
Yeah, well, so much for Southern California, you know? We're inventing this stuff, and then people outdo us.
I know, right?
Back east.
It's true.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so in a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in who sounds pretty interesting. And I wonder where she's calling from. I'm not sure. But we'll find out in a few minutes. Yeah, so that's the concert. I'm really looking forward to that. And I don't know.
Yeah, that'll be a good weekend.
It's like at the Saban Theater. I've never been there. I don't know how big it is.
I don't even know where that is.
I know. It's on Wilshire Boulevard somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I think I've been there, but it just had a different name to it or something.
Right.
Yeah. But it's definitely not the Hollywood Bowl or anything, mm-hmm. you know.
That'll be fun, though. Live concerts are always great.
Yeah. Yeah,
the
I love
atmosphere
those.
And
especially someone that you like, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you go to a concert, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I really wanted to go to Luke Bryan. He's a country singer, but tickets were over $200.
Are you serious?
And I just, wow. Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
I couldn't fathom spending that much money.
Yeah.
Especially as when I was at school in Tallahassee, I've seen him play. I think I've been twice for free, mm-hmm. and like his concert was free, and then a couple times I think we paid like $20, and we were within like 2 feet of the stage.
Wow!
So to pay over $200 and sit so far away,
far
I just
away.
Couldn't imagine.
I know. All right. Well, here's a guest calling in, so let's go ahead and take that. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead and welcome to the show. Hello? Okay, she just hung up. I hope I didn't
scare
her off.
Technology problems.
Yeah. No, I think that was a hang up there, but we'll see. Oh. So the Ebola thing is going wild.
Yeah.
And it's starting to really concern me, you know? I mean, now people are making mistakes and apologizing for them.
I know.
We can't afford to make mistakes.
No. Mistakes can't afford to be made and with something so big like this.
I know, and it's starting to spread. Now the headlines are saying someone in Ohio was diagnosed with this.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, so 2 nurses from the Texas hospital were infected, and the hospital is apologizing for not handling it correctly. But what's going to happen now, who knows? Actually, there's another phone call. Maybe that was the wrong one. Good morning. You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Good morning. How are you? It's Elisabetta here from the Energy Code. How are you?
Yes, Elisabetta. Thank you so much for calling in. How are you this morning?
Oh, fantastic. You have such beautiful weather here at the moment.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Where are you calling us from?
I arrived in San Diego yesterday, so I'm calling from San Diego, a bit closer than Australia.
Oh, I see. So you're visiting here.
Yes, I am. I'm here for 3 and a bit weeks with some book signings and other events. There's a documentary being made and a few other things. So, yeah, I'm out here for some work and to enjoy the West Coast.
Awesome. And where are you visiting from?
From the east coast of Australia.
Oh,
yeah! I come from a little country town called Braidwood.
Oh, wow!
Very small. Yeah.
Is that along the Gold Coast?
No, further south. So New South Wales coast, and I'm sort of the Southern Highlands area. Yeah,
very cool.
A bit cooler than here.
Yeah. Have you been to California before? to the States?
I've been to San Francisco before, and okay. I've been to Texas a few times and Atlanta. But this is my first time in San Diego, and I'll be in LA on the weekend. So that'll be my first time specifically in LA.
Very cool, awesome. Very cool. So tell us what it is that you came here to do. I mean, obviously you're promoting. Are you promoting your book and
yes,
yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Tell us a little
yeah.
bit about
so, that. Yeah. So I was really, really fortunate to be offered a book deal by Motivational Press. At the beginning of this year, actually, on a book that I was writing called The Energy Code, which is all about how to maximize your energy to be the best that you can be. The book is based on a lot of neuroscience, quantum biology, and the emerging brain plasticity field. So looking at how you can utilize your biology, your DNA, the way that your brain can change itself to maximize your potential, change bad habits, and just have a much happier, healthier life.
Wow. So are you like a scientist or something? I mean, obviously this is like, complex stuff, right?
It is. I'm not a scientist. My background is in human development, so I'm a hypnotherapist, and I've been a performance expert for the last 30 years, working with people in rehabilitation after strokes, brain injuries, car accidents, those sorts of things. But my specific interest in genetics and epigenetics, which is the field that looks at how the environment interacts with our DNA to switch on or switch off codes. And the reason for that is I was born with a really rare genetic condition, and my parents were constantly being told to prepare themselves for the worst. And somehow I defied the odds over and over again.
Wow.
And, I'm now nearly 50 years of age, where my parents were told that I wouldn't make it to 3, then I wouldn't make it to 5, I'd never get to high school, then I wouldn't be an adult, then I'd never have children. I've got 4 healthy children.
Wow.
I've had a very full life. But the reason is that, whether accidentally or otherwise, as a child I stumbled on some tools that really helped me to beat the odds. And then I've spent my life trying to understand why those tools worked. And for a long time there wasn't the science to really give me much in the way of answers. But in the last 15 to 20 years, that developing field of genetics and then epigenetics has provided, the keys to understanding why I was able to not just survive, but thrive, beat the odds, live healthily, have children, have a full career.
Yeah.
Because the condition I was born with is meant to create major brain damage and to, to render you in a wheelchair and then dead. So, I really wanted to understand, why did I survive? Why did I beat the odds when, nobody else did with this condition? So that led me then to go beyond my own concerns to, hey, these are actually tools that everyone can use to be the best that they can be.
That's true, yeah. I mean, definitely share things like this, because I think people could use as much help as possible, because obviously modern medicine is still lacking. If they predicted that you would not last, throughout your life and stuff, that's pretty lousy to tell parents things like this.
It was pretty devastating for my parents, and a lot of people get horrible prognoses at different times in their lives, or if it's not them, it might be a family member that gets a horrible prognosis for a condition, whether it might be a mental health issue or it might be cancer or it may be another sort of chronic illness like diabetes. And very often they feel very powerless, and they end up kind of in this medical process that sometimes disempowers them. And the key is not to think that modern medicine is bad, because it isn't. And, frankly, if I was hit by a car tomorrow, I would be wanting the best that emergency medicine could provide.
Right.
But it's to be empowered as a consumer of the health industry, to ask questions, to do your own research, and to understand that how you live has as much impact on your health outcomes as what the medical professionals do for you. So your diet how you exercise, your mindset, the way that you look at the world, the people you surround yourself with, the behaviors you give energy to, they're all very powerful in determining your outcomes, whether, you know, you're just a general person with no specific condition or whether you have a negative health prognosis. Mm. And so I talk about these things in the Energy Code, and I provide background research to it, as well as case studies that really show how these things apply, not just to individuals, but to families or to communities, businesses, and the world at large. Because if we are better as individuals, if we can maximize ourselves and, you know, use less of the resources of the world, then that's a great thing for our, you know, for our world in general, and certainly for the health budget.
Yeah. So now, so you've written several books. Is that what you've done? A big part of your life is write.
Yeah, I think because I was so sick as a young child, and you know, up until around about high school, I was mainly homeschooled because I was too unwell to attend, and I was often in hospital. And a lot of, you know, having a lot of time alone or just in the company of other adults and not being able to run around and, you know, catch a ball or swing on a swing, I tended to read a lot and write a lot. So I started to write at a very early age, and I found that I could experience the world through things that I read, and I could share my thoughts and work things out through writing. So that became a really powerful tool for me. And then fortunately, it turned out that I was quite good at it. And I started to write fiction and nonfiction. So I have a number of fiction works out, and I'm very fortunate to have just picked up a 3-book deal with True North Publishing for my fiction series. And then I also do this work in nonfiction, which is all about, yeah, personal development and growth.
That's cool. So you have a lot of books in you, I see. I mean,
where do you get the ideas for the fiction books at?
Well, I think, you know, again, that goes back to all the time I spent on my own. And I had a fantastic great aunt who was one of the first female principals of the co-ed school in New South Wales in Australia. And she gave me, when I was only about 6, all of her history books. And so I used to read history books for fun, and they would, you know, when you're stuck in a bed and you can't run around, your imagination becomes the most powerful tool that you have. So, you know, I would read these books and I would visualize the history. And then I found that very often those things would end up in my stories. And at about the age of 16, I was doing an assignment in high school on, you know, family trees, and we'd had this sort of family shields parchment in a drawer in the house for years as I was growing up, and it looked ancient, you know, and it had family crests on it, and it was written in this really, you know, calligraphy, fancy calligraphy, but it was in an archaic form of Italian. So I asked my parents if I could get it translated, and it was the family history. And it turns out that our family were mercenaries, very famous mercenaries in Italy from the 1200s on, but that they had originally come from North Africa. And there's this whole tale of them and their exploits, and, you know, they paid very highly for their dastardly deeds and became captains of Faenza and Verona and other cities in Italy.
Right.
So that, you can just imagine what that did to my imagination.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was the beginning of my fiction series, historical fiction series, and as I looked more and more into the history of the family, it got me really interested in the Crusades and what actually was going on, you know, in the Crusades back in the 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th centuries. So, very, very interesting period of history.
Very cool.
But my books are, you know, my books are kind of a tale of blood and adventure and deceit and espionage and all of those sorts of things.
Wow. And what's the fiction series called?
The fiction series is called The Kingmaker Saga, and the first book that's out is called The Infidel. Mm-hmm. And the sequel, which is written and will be coming out at the end of this year, is called Veritas, which is after the goddess of truth.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, very really cool. I mean, I love stuff like that, you know. I mean, it's really cool. And I like that diversity, you know. You're able to write nonfiction and help people out and then, you know, let your imagination run wild as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So you're very fortunate to be able to publish all these books and stuff. Now, there's one more here that's called The DNA of Bullying. So are you saying people are born with the propensity to bully people?
Well, what there is there's the epigenetic effect is that if you are bullied, then it has an impact on your outcomes for the whole of your life. We know that it changes the way your DNA expresses itself.
Wow.
There are these things called methyl tags, and I won't get into the science because I don't want people to fall asleep, but,
right.
but basically those things get stimulated by trauma and they shut down large portions of the DNA. Now, the human genome contains an enormous number of codes. Those codes aren't all expressed at any one time, and many of them will never be expressed in your lifetime. They're things that, you know, were developed maybe thousands or hundreds or millions of years ago to respond to things that were happening in the environment. And they may never trigger in your lifetime because we're living in a completely different environment. However, one of the ramifications of trauma and stress and bullying is it makes you more likely later on in life to be prone to depression and anxiety and to have poor health outcomes.
Wow.
What's interesting is that those that bully, statistically are more likely to be incarcerated in their 20s or to have at some point in their life a major issue with the justice system. They also tend to have behavioural problems, but because society tends to reward bullies, those problems are often masked because they can become quite successful in society. You know, earn bigger incomes, drive better cars, get the promotions through their bullying behavior, but it'll generally all come crashing down in a blaze of infamy at some point in time. Mm. So whether you're a bully or you're bullied, the outcomes are not great and has an impact on your DNA, which affects your outcomes, and then that gets passed on.
Right.
So we know that the children of people who've experienced great stress have a greater predisposition to anxiety, and to if they then bullied, they have even worse outcomes.
Wow! Those are pretty serious effects on someone's life, you know.
Yeah.
Very serious.
Yeah. So
and especially for the fact that the amount of people that are bullied these days is extremely high. I was bullied when I was younger.
Yeah. So do you have any like suggestions and advice for how we can alleviate this problem? I mean,
definitely. It's a multi-pronged approach. The first thing is that schools have to get real about how they handle bullying. They can't just pay lip service, because what they're doing is setting up both the bully and the bullied for negative outcomes later in life, and for society in general to have negative outcomes. So when there is an incidence of bullying, it's really important that the bully gets counselling and receives anger management training and is really assessed, because a small percentage of bullies will turn out to be psychopaths. Now, it's only 1 to 3% of the human population that is clinically a psychopath. But when a psychopath bullies, you want to catch that early, because they then go into the workforce later in life. They can be extremely destructive personalities, often becoming quite powerful, often becoming quite wealthy, but really harming people as they go.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is an element of that behavior that led to the global financial crisis, because those personalities rose to the top. They took a lot of people and influenced a lot of people's behavior. A lot of people did things that maybe they wouldn't have done if they hadn't been under the influence of a psychopath. And then the outcome for society has been really severe, you know, all through the world. You know, about tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people losing their jobs, people losing their pension funds, people losing their houses. So when we don't address bullying, the outcomes are severe. We need to also provide support for anyone who's bullied and help them to gain strategies to manage how they feel, to help them cope with any post-traumatic stress that they might experience. and to just take some strategies so that when they find themselves in a situation where they are being victimized, that they know what to do.
Right.
Now, if you observe bullying, you know, by someone else to someone else, it's really important that you report it. Every time we stand by and allow someone to be bullied, we are aiding and abetting that behavior and
true.
The negative outcomes for those people and for society. I always say to people, this is why I call the book The Energy Code, is that if we withdraw energy and stop supporting bullying behavior, then that bullying behavior can't draw on anything. So if you have a child who's a bully who's also a sporting star or is academically striving, you need to take away all the rewards and show them that until their bullying behaviour stops, they can't be recognised for those other things.
Mm.
So, because very often we'll have a child who's a bully who might also be really achieving, and so we're rewarding them for the achievement, and we kind of just slap them on the wrist for the bullying.
Right.
Withdrawing, you know, energy from people who bully is really important. People excluding the bully and saying, no, I don't approve of that behaviour. I'm not going to support that behaviour. Companies dealing with the bully, not promoting them, not promoting them sideways or upwards to move them, you know, making sure that they don't give them promotions, that they see the behaviours change before the person can progress. It's the only way that you can change the behaviour, because as long as bullies are rewarded, why would they stop?
That's true, yeah. So, and I think that's the thing about a lot of victims of crime victims, that they don't report it, you know, and they go into their own head and stay in there, and then they get depressed and, you know, and all this damage happens to them. So I think we need to make it known to students and, you know, teens or whatever age that, you know, their behavior will have consequences, and also to let people know, the victims know, you know, that the bullies are going to have consequences, and the victims have to reach out and get some help from someone else rather than stay in their own head and feel like they're a failure.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
Yeah. I think one of the things is that it's really important every time we help someone who's been bullied, another person who's been bullied then sees that, and then they're more likely to speak up. Whereas if someone is being victimized but they see another person who speaks out being punished or made to feel stupid or weak, then they're less likely to speak up. And so this idea that the stronger bullies and the weaker bullied, we have to change that, because there are all kinds of strengths. And in fact, bullying behavior is quite weak.
Yeah.
It is, you know, it is a low form of human behavior. It's a very unevolved form of human behavior. And so we have to get past, you know, I hear lots of times people who are bullied will say, I was just told to fight back.
Right.
The solution isn't to turn a person who's been bullied into a bully. That is not a solution. And in fact, there are quite a few people who are bullies who were once bullied, and so they decided to turn the tables. Now, that may have made them feel a little bit better at the time, but it doesn't change the negative outcomes in the long term. So we have to really, really start campaigns that brand bullying as a weak behavior, as a lousy behavior, as a behavior that, you know, we just don't tolerate. And we need to create bully-free zones and really help people to feel safe.
Well, Elizabeth, what is your, how do you pronounce your last name?
Faenza.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Faenza, an Australian who's visiting us here in California. Do you have any other places you're going to be in the country, or is it pretty much San Diego?
Yeah, I'm going to be in Phoenix next week and Las Vegas, and then I'll be back in San Diego from around about the 28th. And I leave on the 5th of November. But if anyone is interested in meeting me, I'm doing a book signing at Chevalier's bookstore in Larchmont in LA on Sunday the 19th between 2 and 4.
That's cool. That's like Hancock Park. It's a nice area.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. And your website, go ahead and give up your website.
Yeah, so my website is my name, so it's Elizabetha. Faenza.com.
Okay. And I see it's Elizabetha L. Fainza.com, no? Or is it
Yeah,
both?
You can do both.
Oh, so that's okay. Great.
Yeah. All right, either
that's
one will
the
work.
One they okay. I just wanted to make sure.
If you've got that on your web page, then right. That's probably the easiest way for people to
Sounds
to
good.
Click on the link, because it's a lot of letters.
Yeah, there you go.
I have half an alphabet in my name.
Yeah, we'll post a link to the website as well on our website. The Energy Code, the DNA of Bullying, the Energy Bucket, a lot of stuff, and The Infidel, of course, which is your work of fiction. And so everybody go out and get that. You know, I mean, those are all listed on the website. You're definitely full of information and very inspiring. You know,
very
I mean, someone with your story. I mean, you've done so many things. I'm seeing here on the website that you've achieved more than I think the average person. You know, considering that you were born with complications and stuff. You know.
Yeah. I think that for me, and this is part of what I talk about in the Energy Coach, no matter what your genetic lottery, no matter what your situation in life, there will be a silver lining. And for me, it was thinking I didn't have a lot of time. Right. So I've made the most of every day. And I really appreciate life. I appreciate every morning I wake up to. I appreciate all of the generosity of the people that have assisted me, from, you know, doctors to counselors to people that have been, you know, kind and supportive. And some that have been not so kind but have taught me a lot. So I think that, you know, the gift for me in having that early death sentence was I have never taken my life for granted. And so for everyone, no matter what situation you're in, there is a gift there somewhere, and it's finding that and making that the key to your life rather than the negative prognosis.
Sounds good.
Definitely.
Okay, everybody, check out the website. Again, Elizabetha Faenza. That's FAENZA.com. And check it out. I mean, the website is just full of information and stuff, videos and articles and things like that. So check it all out. Elizabetha, thank you so much for calling us this morning.
That's my pleasure, Sam and Charlotte. Very lovely speaking to you.
Always a pleasure to have tourists and visitors on the show.
Yeah, enjoy America.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will do. And thank you for putting on such lovely weather.
Of course. And much success to you.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
and you too.
Elizabetha. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow, interesting stuff.
Yeah, it really is, you know, and it's inspiring, you know. I mean, What would you do if you had a child, a baby, and they said that they weren't going to survive, you know?
Yeah, completely.
Wow, so she totally beat the odds, and that's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It really is.
To get out and write all this. I mean, God, you know, it's like you got to be able to write, to have so many ideas in your mind.
Completely.
To write that, you know. I mean, I read so much, and it's still... don't know that I could write a book.
Right. You know? I want to read her book. I don't say that a lot because I don't really like reading. But but I really think I'm going to go buy it. I want to read it.
Yeah, sounds good. All right. Well, so let's go back. We were talking about the Ebola thing. And the thing is that it worries me because once it gets out of control, you know, I mean, now it's still like controlled and contained somehow. You know, to within a certain area. But once there's an outbreak, man, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
They really have got to monitor this. And, you know, with so many millions in this country and visiting and stuff, it's like, it's a nightmare.
Right.
I don't know how they'll handle it.
Well, I read that one of the headlines on Yahoo is Republicans ramp up pressure for travel ban on citizens of nations affected by Ebola. So I guess they're wanting bans. Yeah. From that, well, which they've, I think
which
they,
makes sense to
yeah,
me.
Definitely.
You know, I mean, I really think it does. You know, I mean, they tell people when there's a war zone, don't fly there. You know, and
don't go
there. So, I think in situations like this, it's like, you know, I mean, it's not a pleasant thing, but you gotta isolate the people that have it.
Mm-hmm, definitely, you know? And even just going, I mean, I don't even think I would go to South Africa right now.
Yeah.
I think
that's true,
I would want to
stay away from Africa, period.
Yeah, but I have a couple of friends going for that honeymoon, and it's to South Africa in a couple of weeks. And
really?
I think I would just be, I don't know.
Be scared.
I don't know how I'd feel about that.
Yeah. Well, it is kind of far from Liberia, where this is, where the outbreak is. But you're right. I mean, there's a lot of people traveling within Africa.
Exactly, yeah.
It could spread it really quickly.
Yeah, and I don't think they have it contained anywhere near to what. We haven't.
That's true, yeah. So I guess they're moving the nurse that was infected from Dallas to Maryland. Whatever that's going to do, I don't know. But talking about South Africa, we can go back to Oscar Pistorius, and who's facing prison now. Mm-hmm. And so I guess, I mean, he's been facing prison for months now. Come on, let's.
This is one of the longest trials I've ever heard of. It's like, really? And every day there's a new headline.
Right,
that's
exactly.
That's what I'm confused about. It's like they keep publishing stories about it. It's not just, oh, we'll wait till he's convicted now. No, every day we'll put a story out.
Right, which is what the media does, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Something to talk about.
Yeah. But they're saying he's, you know, it's not pleasant. Well, no prison is pleasant. I mean, I can't imagine that anybody would want to go there. But they're pointing out that the prisons there are overcrowded and poor sanitation. Sometimes 3 people to a bunk bed. Wow.
I just read here that he'll be committed to the hospital wing of one of South Africa's toughest prisons if he is sentenced to jail time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because he's an amputee.
Yeah.
And they're saying that, you know, the people like that might have a hard time, you know, being, you know, among people that are okay.
Right.
That are not, you know, handicapped or stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, from being like the biggest star, man, and it's just like you fall from grace.
It's that ward or that prison is home to the Death Squad leader Eugene Denock. I don't know if I said that right. Known as Prime Evil. He's the head of a vicious gang culture there. Beatings, male rape, murder cases have been reported in the South African media. So if he gets put into prison, I mean,
he's not going to have fun, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow. Wow. I just can't imagine, you know, your life turn into a hell like this.
Yeah, completely.
Wow. All right. I guess this is controversial. I guess in New York, they opened up a bar for pregnant women, and they call it gestations. Now, we're talking about women that are not supposed to be drinking.
Right.
Right?
Not supposed to drink when you're pregnant.
Right. So they're saying that it may be part of a viral stunt for a new app. There's a new app called, Bartender or something. Bartrender. And so they're saying this could be like a, you know, because I can't imagine anybody would open something like this.
Right.
You know? I mean, nobody would go. You know,
exactly.
Who the hell would
yeah.
go there? But what I was thinking, it is a great idea for pregnant women to get together and meet other pregnant women, but have like non-alcoholic beverages. You
right.
know?
But
Things
then you're
like
not
that.
Really going to make that much money if it's just a bar and it's non-alcoholic drinks.
Well, not necessarily, because if you make it like a cafe or something, you know.
True.
Or you know, non-alcoholic beer and things
That's
like that.
That's such a stereotype,
you know?
Though. I feel like they should just branch out and make it not just pregnant women.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think if I was pregnant, I would be like, oh, let's go meet at the pregnant woman cafe.
Right.
I'm just kind of weird. just sounds
I guess there are places for pregnant women to get together already, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All kinds of groups and meetings.
And at that point, I don't think you need to meet more pregnant women.
Yeah.
Like, you take classes, and so I feel like you've probably met your fair share of pregnant women. And you don't
really
need
but they
to.
Like to share, I guess,
yeah,
all their experiences and stuff, you know?
I guess so.
Yeah. Their motto is, you're drinking for two now.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you know this is a stunt. I mean,
this
is, like, not real.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And people are just tweeting about it and stuff, you know, like, as though it's real.
It's probably people that are working for them.
Yeah.
For whatever this is.
Right. Yeah, you know, and especially in light of, we were talking about how, you know, babies are born to addicted mothers,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're born with withdrawals and pain and everything. So you got to be really careful, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's amazing what pregnant women used to get away with. I mean, drinking and even smoking cigarettes was okay.
Right.
At one point.
Yeah.
Wow. And we were born to these parents.
Right. It's crazy. Stephen Collins, the actor from Seventh Heaven, who there was a case opened up against him in New York for having...
underage sex, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Now there's a case that's been opened up against him in Los Angeles for victims come forward after seeing the New York, everything go on in New York, saying that Collins exposed himself to her in West Hollywood in 1983. And I guess special unit detectives are investigating the actor. And since this all came out, the scheduled reruns of Seventh Heaven have been canceled. He was supposed to be in Ted 2 and the next season of Scandal, and he's lost both of those roles.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, he's just been accused. You know, there's nothing been proven yet. So
But when he admitted to his, well, his wife, who they're going through a divorce, and that's how all this came out.
Right.
But when you admit something...
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to wonder. I mean, I didn't hear the tape, so I don't know what's going on. And besides, people can say all kinds of things, you know. But maybe it warrants at least an investigation.
Yeah, so. Definitely. And that's what's been opened up against him. And now he has two. One in New York and one in L.A.
People get themselves into trouble.
So, yeah, now he's... Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
I wonder how old he was when he abused that girl.
He's 67 now.
Right.
And did I read that it was 30 years ago?
30 years ago. Okay. So that's 37 with an underage girl. Wow.
Right.
Totally doesn't mix.
Mm-hmm. His prime work time, or he's worked steadily in TV and movie since the 1970s.
Oh, wow.
So he's had a 40-plus year career.
Career.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It looks like it's coming to an end.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's pretty sad stuff.
Yeah.
Also, Apple is set to release new iPads today.
Oh, really?
And they're saying, I guess there were a couple of leaked photos and stuff. The company accidentally leaked photos, they're saying, which is probably bull. You know?
Oh, yeah. I see. New iPads leaked.
Yeah, right. So
that just doesn't accidentally happen.
No, it does not. So they're saying that there were pictures of iPad Air 2 and iPad Mini 3. And saying that the iPad is due for a facelift, which is true, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's looked the same. But they're saying the new ones look the same as they did, too. So I don't know. But I wonder what they're going to... They are adding Apple Pay to the systems. Did we talk about this? I guess we brought
it
up.
They have a scroll bar on it. Sorry, I'm just looking at the photos.
Oh, the scroll bar?
Yeah, there's now a scroll bar.
No scroll bar.
There is a scroll bar.
There is?
Yeah.
Oh, instead of like scrolling with your fingers?
I guess instead of like swiping to the side, it's a scroll bar on the side.
Oh, okay.
To show like all your apps.
Oh, okay. All right.
Like on the home screen. Sorry,
I'm sure it's good. No, I'm sure it's a good thing, although I don't get it, but you know. But they also introduced Apple Pay, which seems like an amazing thing that I've said we need to do for a long time, that is be able to pay with our phones, you know, because money is not physical money anymore. Money is just numbers now,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's numbers moving from one account to another.
Yeah.
Cash is hardly used. We use credit cards. We use, debit cards, bank transfers, things like that.
Right.
You're never really dealing with the money. So I think it totally makes sense. You know, I would use it.
Yeah, definitely. I would too.
And all you'd have to do is go to a participating, retailer, which I'm sure there's going to be a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they already have Bloomingdale's and Macy's and McDonald's and them. So
we're just going to have to keep more of an eye on iPads, iPhones to make sure nothing gets lost.
Yeah.
Because then when somebody... If someone steals it or whatever.
It does require your fingerprint, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There
so
we go.
So that could help.
Yeah.
And, plus, you know, I mean, with the phones today, I would tend to think people would steal less of them because of the kill switches and everything, but...
Right.
I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, people still steal them, I guess.
I know. People are looking for anything, so I still think people would steal them.
Yeah.
Because you can sell it back for like $200.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy money. $200 for a phone.
Right.
I just think it's insane that you can, what you buy, I mean, I guess it doesn't depreciate that much, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they could sell the phone and get $200.
Right.
So I still think they would sell it.
Yeah.
They would steal people.
If they could use it, though, I don't
know.
Yeah. Okay, and finally, I just wanted to bring this up yesterday, and we never got around to it, but I guess this 10-year-old boy killed a 90-year-old woman who yelled at him.
Wow.
She was yelling at him, so he admitted to, he grabbed a cane and put it against her throat and punched her.
Oh, my gosh.
A 90-year-old woman. But, so, yeah, we were talking about bullying and everything. There you go, 10-year-old.
Yeah.
A 10-year-old boy.
That's a prime example.
Yeah, you know? I mean, the thing is, you want to get mad at him, but on the other hand, you go, how does somebody become like this?
Right.
You know?
That's, I mean, the fact that a 10-year-old would even know what killing is.
Right.
I don't know. It's just,
well, I think he didn't mean to kill her. He says,
yeah.
You know, he didn't mean to kill her, just to hurt her.
Wow.
But another sad story, yeah.
Yeah.
Very sad.
Definitely.
All right. Well, this is it for today, folks. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.